Hey everybody, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be tackling, a classic work.
Yeah.
And it's all about kind of like, thinking through the consequences of economic choices. And I think it's particularly relevant to, us here in Southeast Houston. We're talking about Henry Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson.
A fantastic book.
Yeah. And, you might be thinking like a book from 1946.
Right.
What could that possibly, tell me about life in Deer Park or LaPorte today?
Right, exactly.
But trust me, Hazlitt's insights are surprisingly relevant.
Absolutely.
To the decisions that we're facing, right here, right now.
You know what Hazlitt does so brilliantly is he takes these very complex economic principles and he boils them down to these everyday examples that anyone can understand.
Yeah.
And once you start seeing these principles in action, you realize they're everywhere.
Yeah, and that's what's so cool about it. So get ready for some like, aha moments.
Yeah.
As we explore some really intriguing questions.
Right.
Like, for example, what does a broken window have to do with economics?
Okay.
Could saving money actually be bad for the economy?
Interesting questions.
And can labor unions really raise wages for everyone? Let's dive in.
So Hazlitt kicks off with a really interesting and vivid story.
Okay.
I want you to picture this. A young kid throws a brick through a baker shop window. Okay, right there on Center Street.
Oh, God.
A crowd gathers, and some folks see this broken window as a good thing.
Okay.
After all, now the glazier gets some work replacing the glass. It's a job creator, right?
Yeah, that's what it seems like on the surface.
Huh.
But I bet there's more to the story.
There is. There's always more to the story.
Right.
See, the crowd is only focused on what's immediately visible.
Right.
The glazier getting paid. What they don't see is what the baker would have done with that money if he didn't have to fix the window. Maybe he was saving up to buy a new oven from a local supplier, or maybe he was going to invest in expanding his shop and hiring another employee from, Pasadena or Deer Park.
Right.
Because of the broken window, those plans are on hold.
Yeah.
And the local economy misses out on that potential growth.
So even a seemingly small act of vandalism can have like ripple effects throughout the entire community.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Like a chain reaction.
Yeah.
This is what Hazlitt calls the broken window fallacy. And it's a reminder that we always have to consider the unseen consequences of economic actions.
Okay.
Not just the immediate effects.
So how does this fallacy play out in like bigger issues?
Yeah.
For example,
yeah.
We often hear about the need for government spending
right.
to create jobs and boost the economy. Is Hazlitt saying that that's always a bad idea?
Well, not necessarily.
All right.
But he is saying that we need to be careful about assuming that government spending automatically leads to a stronger economy.
Yeah.
Take public works projects, for instance. They create jobs, sure.
Yeah.
But where does the money for those projects come from?
Taxes.
Taxes, exactly. And those taxes are coming right out of the pockets of individuals and businesses in our community.
So it's possible that for every public job created by a government project, a private sector job could be lost because people have less money to spend at local businesses.
That's one very real possibility. You know, Hazlitt really emphasizes this concept of opportunity cost, which basically means what we give up when we choose to use resources in one way versus another.
Right.
So if the government is using tax dollars to build a new bridge over there in LaPorte, let's say, that's money that can't be used to support existing businesses in Deer Park, invest in education, or lower taxes to stimulate private sector growth.
Right. It's a trade-off.
It's always a trade-off.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Now let's talk about credit. It's often presented as a way to boost economic growth, but I know Hazlitt has some reservations about that as well.
He does, and it comes back to this idea of opportunity cost.
Okay.
Hazlitt points out that government credit programs, just like any form of credit, divert capital from one area of the economy to another.
Okay.
The question is, who are the most efficient and trustworthy borrowers?
Yeah.
Are government programs really better at picking winners and losers than, say, private banks that are lending their own money?
I see what you mean. If a bank makes a bad loan, they lose their own money.
Exactly.
So they can be pretty careful about who they lend to and what projects they support.
Exactly. And Hazlitt argues that government credit programs often end up directing capital to less efficient or less trustworthy borrowers who wouldn't have gotten loans from private lenders.
Okay.
This can lead to what we call a misallocation of resources.
Okay.
Meaning that capital isn't flowing to the businesses and projects that would create the most value for the community.
So how does all of this relate to us here in Southeast Houston?
Yeah.
I mean, what should we be thinking about when we see proposals for big government spending projects or credit programs?
It's a great question.
What questions should we be asking?
I think Hazlitt would urge us to look beyond the immediate visible effects
Okay.
and ask some tougher questions.
Like what?
Like, who is really benefiting from this program? And who might be losing out? Is this program truly creating real economic growth, or is it just shifting resources around and potentially creating unintended consequences down the line?
So it's all about thinking long term and considering the impact on the entire community, not just a select few who might benefit in the short term.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Now, speaking of potential downsides, there's a lot of talk these days about how new technology is destroying jobs,
right?
Especially with automation on the rise. People are worried about what it means for the future of work.
Sure.
What's Hazlitt's take on this?
You know, he's actually pretty optimistic when it comes to technology. He uses historical examples to show that even though labor-saving machinery might displace some workers in the short term, it ultimately leads to greater productivity, lower prices.
Okay.
Get this, the creation of entirely new industries
Wow.
with new jobs that we can't even imagine yet.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's easy to fixate on, you know, those jobs that are lost.
Right.
But miss the bigger picture of how innovation creates new opportunities.
Exactly. Think about how the internet has transformed our local economy. Sure, it disrupted some traditional businesses.
Right.
But it also created countless new jobs in areas like e-commerce, digital marketing, software development fields that didn't even exist a few decades ago.
So maybe instead of fearing change, we should be focusing on adapting and preparing ourselves for those new opportunities.
I think that's a great point.
What do you think?
I absolutely agree. Clinging to outdated methods and trying to protect jobs that are becoming obsolete is a recipe for stagnation.
Right.
We need to embrace change, invest in education and training, and make sure our workforce is ready to thrive in the economy of the future.
That's a great message. I think it really ties into Hazlitt's overall point about thinking long term and considering the dynamic nature of the economy.
Yeah.
But we've covered a lot of ground already.
We have.
And there's still so much more to unpack in economics in one lesson. We haven't even touched on parity pricing in agriculture, the complexities of international trade, or the dangers of inflation.
Yeah, we've only just scratched the surface.
So join us for part two as we continue our deep dive into Hazlitt's classic work.
Yeah.
And explore how these principles play out right here in our community.
We'll be back with more insights and practical advice on how you can think and act locally to improve your own life and the well-being of Southeast Houston. Stay tuned.
Awesome.
All right.
Welcome back to our deep dive into Henry Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson.
Huh.
We're talking about how seemingly simple economic actions can have ripple effects throughout our community here in Southeast Houston. Last time we explored the broken window fallacy and discussed how government spending isn't always the magic bullet it's made out to be. Now let's shift gears and talk about something that's super important to our area, agriculture.
Excellent point. Agriculture is a huge part of the economy in Southeast Texas. And a lot of folks around here are concerned about making sure our farmers get fair prices for their products. Hazlitt dives into this issue with a concept called parity pricing.
Okay, I've heard that term before, but to be honest, I'm not entirely sure what it means. Can you break it down for us?
Sure. Parity pricing is this idea that the prices of farm products should be kept at a certain level, a level that ensures farmers have enough buying power to, well, keep farming and support their families. It's all about making sure farming stays profitable and that our agricultural sector stays strong. Seems like a good idea, right?
Yeah, on the surface, it sounds like it makes sense. But I'm guessing Hazlitt sees some potential problems with this approach.
He does. He argues that when the government steps in to try to manipulate prices, it often ends up distorting the natural forces of supply and demand. For example, if the government sets a price floor for a certain crop, let's say corn, that's higher than the market price. It encourages farmers to produce more corn, even if there isn't enough demand for it.
Okay, so what happens to all that extra corn? Someone has to buy it, right?
Well, that's the problem. If there isn't enough demand for all that corn at the artificially high price, you end up with a surplus. The government might end up having to buy up the excess corn, or they might even encourage farmers to destroy crops to keep the price from falling.
Wow, that seems incredibly wasteful. And it doesn't really sound like it's helping anyone in the long run.
Exactly. And here's the kicker. Those higher prices for corn, they get passed on to consumers who now have to pay more for food. So those government interventions designed to help farmers can actually end up hurting everyone by making food more expensive.
It's another example of those unseen consequences Hazlitt is always warning us about.
Precisely. It's all about understanding that the economy is a complex system, and trying to manipulate one part of it can have unintended consequences in other areas.
All right, let's shift gears again and talk about another hot button issue. International trade. We hear a lot of different opinions about whether trade is good or bad for the economy. What's Hazlitt's perspective on this?
Hazlitt is a big believer in free trade. He argues that countries benefit from specializing in what they do best and trading with other countries for the things they can't produce as efficiently. This is the idea of comparative advantage. It's not about which country can produce the most of something, but about which country can produce it at the lowest opportunity cost.
Okay, that makes sense. But I think a lot of people are concerned about the impact of imports on American jobs. They worry that if we're buying products from other countries, it's taking away jobs from American workers. How does Hazlitt address that concern?
He acknowledges that there might be some job losses in specific industries in the short term, but he emphasizes that those losses are usually offset by gains in other industries. For example, when we import goods from other countries, we pay for them with dollars. Those dollars end up flowing back to the U.S. in the form of demand for our exports.
So in a way, by buying products from other countries, we're actually supporting American jobs in those industries that are producing goods for export.
Exactly. It's a two-way street. Trade creates a global marketplace where everyone can benefit. And when we try to restrict trade with tariffs or other protectionist measures, it often backfires. Those measures can make goods more expensive for consumers, reduce demand for our exports, and ultimately hurt economic growth.
Okay, I'm starting to see how a lot of these economic fallacies come down to this idea of focusing on the short-term benefits for a specific group while ignoring the long-term costs for everyone else.
That's a great observation. And that's the core of Hazlitt's message. He wants us to think about the long-term effects of economic policies on the entire community, not just on special interest groups.
Now, Hazlitt also spends a good chunk of his book talking about profits and interest rates, two things that don't always have the best reputation. Some people see profits as greedy, and they think interest rates are just a way for banks to get rich. But Hazlitt has a different perspective, right?
He does. He argues that profits are essential signals in a free market economy. They tell businesses what consumers want and where to invest their resources. When businesses are making profits, it means they're meeting consumer needs and contributing to a healthy economy.
So instead of seeing profits as a bad thing, we should see them as a sign that the market is working properly.
That's how Hazlitt sees it. Trying to limit profits through excessive taxation or price controls can actually stifle innovation and discourage businesses from investing and creating jobs.
And what about interest rates? What role do they play in a healthy economy?
Interest rates are all about balancing saving and investment. When interest rates are allowed to fluctuate freely based on market forces, they help to ensure that there's enough capital available for businesses to invest and grow.
But don't lower interest rates make it easier for businesses to borrow money and expand? Wouldn't that be a good thing for the economy?
It seems that way, but Hazlitt argues that artificially low interest rates can actually do more harm than good. When the government manipulates interest rates to try to stimulate the economy, it distorts the natural signals of the market and can lead to a misallocation of capital.
So it's like those government credit programs we talked about earlier. Trying to force interest rates lower than the market dictates can actually backfire and make things worse in the long run.
Exactly. Hazlitt believes that allowing interest rates to be determined by the free market leads to a more stable and sustainable economy.
Okay, this is all making a lot of sense, but I'm sure some people are listening to this and thinking, but what about inflation? Don't we need the government to control prices to keep things from getting too expensive?
That's a great question, and it's one that Hazlitt tackles head-on in his book. He understands the appeal of inflation, especially for folks who see it as a way to boost incomes and encourage people to spend more money.
But I'm sensing a but.
You know, Hazlitt warns us that inflation has these hidden consequences that often outweigh the perceived benefits. Sure, rising prices might seem like a good thing for sellers in the short term, but inflation also erodes the purchasing power of everyone's money.
Meaning people can buy less with their wages, even if they're getting paid more. It's like running on a treadmill. You're working harder, but you're not really getting anywhere.
Perfect analogy. Hazlitt argues that inflation distorts economic decision-making. Instead of focusing on producing goods and services that people actually need, businesses become more interested in speculating on rising prices and trying to make a quick buck.
It sounds like inflation can create this vicious cycle that's really hard to escape.
Absolutely. And Hazlitt warns that government policies that rely on inflation to stimulate economic growth often lead to a dangerous cycle of dependence, eventually causing economic instability and hardship.
We've covered a lot of ground in this episode. Is there anything else from Hazlitt's economics in one lesson that you think is particularly relevant to our listeners here in Southeast Houston?
I think the most important takeaway from Hazlitt is the importance of thinking about economics from a holistic perspective.
What does that mean exactly?
It means recognizing that the economy is a complex system with interconnected parts. And it means understanding that economic policies always have consequences, both intended and unintended. We need to think about the long-term impact of those policies on the entire community, not just on special interest groups or those who might benefit in the short term.
It's about making informed decisions that create sustainable prosperity for everyone in our community.
Exactly. And that requires us to be aware of the common economic fallacies that Hazlitt exposes in his book.
Well, this has been an incredibly insightful conversation. But we're not done yet. Join us for part three of our deep dive as we wrap up our exploration of Hazlitt's economics in one lesson. We'll be discussing one more key concept that's crucial for individual prosperity and the health of our local economy. Welcome back to the deep dive. We've been exploring Henry Hazlitt's economics in one lesson, and let me tell you, this book is packed with insights that are just so relevant to our lives right here in Southeast Houston.
It really is. You know, Hazlitt has this amazing ability to take these really complex economic ideas and make them so clear and relatable. And that's what's so important, because it really empowers us to make better decisions, both for ourselves and for our community.
Exactly. We've talked about the broken window fallacy, the hidden costs of government spending, the benefits of free trade, and the dangers of inflation.
Yeah.
But there's one more big idea from Hazlitt that I think is absolutely crucial for us to unpack, especially if we really want to, you know, create a more prosperous future for Deer Park LaPorte and Pasadena. And that's the importance of saving.
Yes, saving. The often overlooked key to long-term economic growth, right? It sometimes gets a bad rap, especially when people are, you know, struggling to make ends meet. But Hazlitt makes a really compelling case for why saving is essential, not just for individuals, but for the entire economy.
You know, I think a lot of people have this misconception that saving is just about hoarding money under your mattress.
Right.
But that's not what Hazlitt's talking about, right?
Yeah, at all. When economists talk about saving, they're referring to the portion of income that's not spent on consumption.
Okay.
That money is then available for investment, which is really the engine that drives economic growth.
So when people save, they're actually making it possible for businesses to invest in new equipment, expand their operations, and create new jobs right here in our community.
Precisely. Think about it this way. If everyone in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena spent every dollar they earn, there would be no money left over for businesses to borrow and invest.
Right.
Saving is like planting seeds for the future. It's what allows the economy to grow and create more opportunities for everyone.
I love that analogy. Saving is the seed corn of economic growth. I like that. But, you know, we often hear the opposite argument that spending is what drives the economy.
Right.
How does Hazlitt address that?
Well, he acknowledges that spending is important, of course. We need people buying goods and services to keep businesses running. But he emphasizes that spending is only one side of the equation.
Okay.
Excessive spending, especially when it's fueled by government debt, can lead to inflation, which ultimately hurts everyone and makes it harder for the economy to grow in a sustainable way.
So like a lot of things in economics, it's all about finding the right balance.
Exactly. We need both saving and spending for a healthy economy. Saving provides the capital for investment, and spending provides the demand for the goods and services that businesses produce. It's a virtuous cycle.
Now, Hazlitt talks about something called the paradox of thrift.
Yeah.
Can you explain what that is and whether we should be worried about it?
Sure. It's this idea that if everyone suddenly decides to save more, it could actually lead to a decrease in overall spending and a slowdown in the economy. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. People get worried about the future, so they save more, which then makes the economy worse because businesses aren't selling as much.
So should we be encouraging people to spend more and save less?
Not necessarily. Hazlitt points out that the paradox of thrift usually only applies in very specific situations, like during a severe recession when businesses are already reluctant to invest.
Right.
In a normally functioning economy, increased saving actually leads to lower interest rates, which then encourages businesses to borrow and invest more. So it can actually have a stimulating effect in the long run.
It seems like so many of these economic fallacies come down to focusing on the short-term effects without considering the long-term adjustments that the market makes.
That's a great insight. It's so important to remember that the economy is dynamic. It's constantly evolving and adapting to changes in behavior.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Hazlitt's economics in one lesson, what are some key takeaways for our listeners? What can we do both individually and as a community to encourage healthy saving habits and create a more prosperous future for Southeast Houston?
Well, on an individual level, I think it's crucial to have a financial plan that includes saving for the future, whether it's for retirement, a down payment on a house, your kids' education, or unexpected expenses. Having a savings cushion can make a huge difference in your life.
And it doesn't have to be a huge amount. Even setting aside a small amount each month can really add up over time, thanks to the power of compound interest.
Absolutely. And on a community level, we can support policies that encourage saving and investment. Things like responsible government budgeting, making sure our tax dollars are being used wisely. And tax policies that don't penalize savers can go a long way toward creating a more prosperous future for everyone in Southeast Houston.
I think that's a great message to end on. It's about taking responsibility for our own financial well-being and advocating for policies that create a healthy economic environment for businesses to thrive and create jobs.
Exactly. Hazlitt reminds us that we all have a role to play in building a stronger economy. And it starts with understanding the basic principles of economics and making informed choices that benefit both ourselves and our community.
Well, this has been an incredible journey through Henry Hazlitt's economics in one lesson. I hope you found it as insightful as I did. Remember, knowledge is power, and by understanding the forces that shape our economy, we can become more empowered citizens and create a brighter future for Southeast Houston. If you find value in our show, please support us at thinkconductlocally.com/donate. Link in show notes.
I completely agree. And remember, Hazlitt's book is just a starting point. There's always more to learn. And by engaging in thoughtful conversations and considering different perspectives, we can all become more informed and engaged members of our community.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll be back next time with another fascinating topic that's relevant to your life right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, in Pasadena. Until then, keep thinking and acting locally.